This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Several high-profile federal and international reports this past fall highlighted the threats posed by human-caused climate change. But the words climate change have actually been removed from multiple reports and planning documents at the National Park Service, and a policy change means that park managers are no longer required to include climate science in their decision-making. Elizabeth Shogren is a reporter covering science for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. She's been investigating censorship and suppression of climate science by the Trump administration. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
It's such a pleasure to be here.
There's been a lot of coverage over the past year or two about the Trump administration's attitudes towards science and the role of science in policymaking, and a lot of that's been focused actually on the EPA. Why did you decide to zero in on the Park Service?
Well, I'm a radio reporter, so I was looking for a story that I could tell. And as you know, you need a beginning, middle, event, and then you need to kind of get below the surface and tell a story that people don't know. And I happened to have done a story for NPR years ago about this research that was just getting kicked off at the National Park Service. I met this young PhD scientist called Maria Caffrey. She was under contract for the Park Service to do what I thought was really cool research, which was to calculate how much the seas would rise and how big the storms would get, how much flooding would come at national parks around the country. This was 118 national parks, the coastal parks that are vulnerable to sea level rise. And so she was kind of diving in and doing all this nerdy calculation. And I thought that was such a cool idea. So I had checked back with her a couple of times to see how it was going after I'd done that story. And then I learned that that research seemed to have gotten stalled out. And I wanted to know why.
And you really dug into this one story. There was a lot of using the FOIA system to request documents and figure out, as you say, why this research hadn't come out, why it was taking so long to come out. So give us kind of the short version. What did you find?
Well, what I found was that the Park Service was delaying the release of her research. And once the research had been finalized and ready to be published for about a year, her supervisors at the National Park Service started actually editing her report. Every time she mentioned that humans are causing climate change, using words like anthropogenic or human activities contributing to climate change, those references were literally crossed out of her report by supervisors.
It can often be difficult to prove something like censorship. You know, people can say, oh, well, we were just editing it for clarity. We didn't think that was important. There are, you know, ways to hedge. Do you think you have found definitive evidence of scientific censorship in this case?
There is no question that there were attempts at scientific censorship in this case. I think, you know, I'm not a judge, but it's clear. And I don't have to rely on my own interpretation. I talked with leading scientists in our country to ask them what they made of this. I showed them examples, and Jane Lubchenco, the former head of NOAA, I asked her, and they all were clear that this is the kind of thing that should never happen in the United States of America. And there are policies about this that supervisors are not allowed to coerce scientists to change their scientific reports. And that's what was clearly happening in this case. What is also important, however, is that the scientist in this case fought back. There are risks of doing that, of course. And that's clear in this case.
But in the end, that report ended up being released eventually by the Park Service in its original form or with some of that original language, right?
It did. And I think that there are two reasons that that happened, or maybe several reasons that that happened. One of them is that Maria Caffrey, the scientist, fought back. She didn't just say okay to her supervisors because she knew how important attributing the cause of climate change to humans was for her research. In fact, her research shows that parks will be flooded a lot more dramatically if humans don't respond to the challenge of climate change and curtail our greenhouse gas emissions. Her study shows that very, very plainly. And so so she was fighting because she knew it was an important part of her research. But the other thing that happened in this case, because I knew about this research, I was able to use public records laws to get the truth out. And once the truth was out that this effort to censor her was going on, then there were members of Congress asking for investigations, and there was the light of public scrutiny on something that was happening. And those two things, I think, her resistance and the public's eye on what they were doing, and Congress, members of Congress saying, no, this is not okay, all of those things added up to prevent them from doing the censorship, which they had every intention of doing.
Elizabeth Shogren, you've titled your investigation into this one case, Silencing Science. There's actually an entire database that Columbia University maintains with the same title, where they've documented other examples, and you said you know of other examples. So how typical or representative do you think this story is of what has been happening under the Trump administration when it comes to climate science in particular?
Well, I can't tell you that I have an exhaustive, you know, view into all possible studies and what's happening there. I don't, across the Trump administration. It's too many agencies, too much going on. And in fact, I've talked to lots of scientists who work for federal agencies who say they've been happily surprised that they're still doing their research. I want to say that there are some really key examples where the Trump administration has not bridled the scientific process. For instance, the National Climate Assessment came out at the end of last year, and the president criticized it quite significantly when it did come out. He didn't like the findings, and he even disputed them. But from what I understand from talking to a lot of scientists involved in that process, no one interfered with it. And that's an exhaustive study that shows just how damaging climate change is already across the United States in lots and lots of ways. And that was not censored. There's another example that we got also through a Freedom of Information Act request. Another colleague of mine at Reveal actually put in this request, and it wasn't about climate change, but we got back information that showed that in the case of a national park in Massachusetts.
No, this is the New Bedford National Whaling Historic Park. Right, is the example you're mentioning right in our backyard, really.
Right, New Bedford National Whaling Historical Park. So it's basically the park that talks all about whaling and the role that whaling played in our nation's economy. And that park, you wouldn't be surprised, is right on the water. And so the officials there were writing what's called a foundation document. It's basically the document that spells out for all officials from the Park Service who ever work in that park why the park was created and what the risks are coming up and what people have to think about. Because, you know, the Park Service is kind of like the military. People come in and come out of parks, and they need to have some basis of what's the foundation of this park. What are we supposed to be protecting? And in this case, this foundation document was being edited, and every instance of climate change was highlighted by some regional Park Service officials. And the Park Service staff was directed that references to climate change were too sensitive and might raise eyebrows with the new administration. And so I was able, actually I got this from the park, was to get the final document. And all of those references to climate change were removed from the document before it was published. And I thought that was another example. And I wasn't in either of these cases able to know exactly what the administration directive was that led to this censorship. But I was told by people pretty high up in the Park Service that this message was coming from the Interior Department, and that the message was that there were certain words that were banned, and references to human-caused climate change were among those.
Elizabeth Shogren, as you said, you know, sometimes sorting out the motivations and what's explicit policy versus even in some cases a degree of self-censorship can be difficult. But you've also reported on an explicit Park Service policy, in this case, the reversal of a policy that directly addresses the role of climate science in decision making. And this is the reversal or the rescinding of something known as Director's Order Number 100. Interestingly, that order, that original policy, is no longer available on the National Park Service website. Can you just tell us a little bit about what that policy was and why you think it's significant that it's now been reversed under the Trump administration?
Well, Director's Order 100 was an order to elevate science in decision making. The national parks are these very special places, and so the question is, how do you decide what to do in a park? And that was an order during the last administration that was to establish how important it was to get good science and to listen to good science. And it wasn't just about climate change, but climate change was a big part of it. And the reason this is so important is that the country's changing rapidly because of climate change. And so the parks were established at a time when the idea was basically that we would try to keep things the way in national parks and in the ones that are mostly about preserving nature, to keep them in the kind of pre-industrial way that the park looked. Well, we can't really do that anymore, right? Because parks are changing rapidly. If streams are heating up and glaciers are melting, there's no way to restore a glacier. We have to, the idea was that the scientists who work in the parks and the managers in the parks need to understand climate change so that they can understand how to manage these parks in a changing environment. So that's what that policy was all about.
And that's now been rescinded.
Rescinded. And I thought it was so interesting because the person who actually rescinded it was was one of the officials who drafted the policy originally. And what we were able to show in that story, and that's again from a public records response to a public records request, is that there were emails from the National Park Service that showed that they were getting directives from the Interior Department to make these changes.
Concern over political interference in science is not necessarily something new. I mean, if you go back to 2004, there was an open letter from some very high-profile scientists saying the integrity of science in the federal government is under threat. We need to do something about that. I wonder if you think that what we're seeing now under the Trump administration is different or new in some way, or is this in some ways just the fluctuation administration to administration, different attitudes towards science and its role in policymaking?
Again, it's hard to quantify it, but I would say you're completely right. This is not something that only happens in this administration. One of the things that has been striking to me is, as I've been searching, I've come across some pretty alarming examples of suppression of science that happened under the Obama administration. It's not just something that Republicans do. It's when politicians find that the science is uncomfortable for whatever their policies are, they can suppress it, right? Because they really don't want to make a big deal out of science that shows the impact of what they're doing.
Elizabeth, just out of curiosity, could you give us one of those examples that you found of suppression of science during the Obama administration?
So this was research that was being done in the West, and a researcher at EPA was doing this research, a 30-year veteran, that had to do with the contamination of drinking water supplies from hydraulic fracturing, also known as fracking. This is the oil and gas industry's current technology for how to get the most oil and gas out of the ground. And the question was basically, are drinking water supplies at risk from this? And there was a researcher doing that work for the EPA. And I don't know, I haven't been able to do all the research to understand exactly why this happened, but that researcher's work was shut down. And he, in fact, retired early and went to Stanford and finished his research because the EPA under the Obama administration didn't let his research go forward. So that's an example.
Elizabeth Shogren covers science for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you for asking.